Here they come, more controversial bonuses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. What kind of bonuses did Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's top executives get this year? The government's going to tell us today, and sources are saying it's between $4 and $6 million. Fannie and Freddie, of course, got bailed out by taxpayers. Still, their executive pay is not subject to the limits of the pay czar, Kenneth Feinberg. That's because those companies didn't receive TARP money. They were seized by the government. General Motors, on the other hand, did get TARP money and does fall under the pay czar. And yesterday, Feinberg announced GM's 2010 pay packages. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live. Morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Bill.
So, what will the top GM execs make next year?
Well, for GM's new chief financial officer, Chris Liddell, who came from Microsoft, his base salary will be $750,000 plus about $5.5 million in stock. Michael Carpenter, the new CEO of GMAC, that's the auto lender, he'll do a bit better, $950,000 in salary and roughly $8.5 million in stock grants. Feinberg has pointed out in defending these pay packages, which, by the way, are higher than government-imposed limits, that most of the pay is in long-term stock grants, and that means they don't pay out unless the company does well over many years and pays back billions in loans from the Troubled Asset Relief Program.
I mentioned controversy at the top. What kind of debate are these pay restrictions causing?
Well, there's criticism on both sides. Critics look at these numbers in the multi-millions and say they're too high. A lot of executive compensation experts themselves are, and executives are really bridling at being under the thumb of a government pay czar. The new CEO of AIG has been railing against the government, telling him how to run his business and threatening to quit. Citibank and Bank of America are paying their TARP loans back, so they'll be free of oversight next year.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are mostly higher this morning, less than 0.5%. Most Asian markets rose as well. Shanghai's main index shot up 2.5%. The Chinese automaker Geely said it's moving closer to buying Volvo from Ford. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P 500 nudged up 0.25%, NASDAQ up 0.75%, and the Dow managed a one-point gain to 10,466. You have one more day to decide whether you can afford any more Christmas presents. And though we usually talk about retailers hoping you're in a spending mood, Marketplace's Amy Scott reminds us local governments are counting on you, too.
The city of Mesa, Arizona, depends on its local sales tax for almost a third of its general fund. That pays for the police and fire departments, libraries, and parks. Deputy City Manager Brian Raines estimates sales tax revenue has fallen about 9% this year. He won't know for a while how holiday sales held up, but he's not very optimistic.
We've learned here over the past 2 years as revenues across the board have declined to not expect a great deal.
Mesa has been hit hard by the housing bust. It's had to cut 10% of its public workforce. One thing the city can be thankful for, it didn't get hit by a blizzard last weekend. Kim Rubin is an economist at the Tax Policy Center in Washington, D.C. She says when people in her area couldn't get to the stores, they turned to online shopping.
Which, in theory, people should be paying sales taxes on those sales, but in practice, people don't normally pay sales taxes.
The National Retail Federation predicts holiday sales will be down about 1% over last year. Rubin says nationally about 10% of city revenue comes from sales taxes. And with revenue from property and income taxes down too, every bit counts. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
In an hour or so, the full Senate will cast its first Christmas Eve vote since 1895. Senators are expected to pass the health care bill, extending coverage to about 31 million people and banning insurers from penalizing those pre-existing medical conditions. The bill only needs 51 votes, and then it'll be time to mash it together with the House version. And health care is the subject of this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz with our quizmaster, Stefan Richter of theglobalist.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Are you ready for today's Globalist Quiz?
Ready as ever.
So here's my question for you. In 10 years' time, what will a family like your own or mine pay in the United States in health insurance in a given year? Will it be $13,000 a year, $19,000 a year, $24,000 or even $31,000?
Annual insurance premiums?
Mm-hmm.
When I don't know, I go with C, $24,000.
That's always a safe option, but you're off. It's even higher than that. According to the Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation, the average employer-provided family health insurance policy is currently on track to cost about $31,000 in 2019.
$31,000 in premiums. And help me out here. What's the average family income in the United States?
The average family income is around $50,000. So that means that a significant chunk of anything that you and I and our spouses and everybody else will labor for will be eaten up by health care costs.
Like they say in Christmas Carol, are these things that will be or only might be?
Might be, and hopefully we can stem the tide. If you assume that health care costs will increase a little less, then you would be right. It would be $24,000 a year. But, you know, we all stand with bated breath and see what they get accomplished in Washington. Currently, it doesn't look like we get those costs under sufficient control for families not to have to work for health care most of their time.
Some sobering numbers. Thanks for joining us, Stefan.
Good to have been with you. Bye.
Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com, the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture. And finally, what would you do? An Ohio woman caught her 6-year-old daughter shoplifting a $3 pack of tattoo stickers and turned her in. The store was offering a $30 reward for catching shoplifters. The mom says she thought about asking for the money and then decided people might think she set the whole thing up. So she let it go. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.